You're listening to Make Business Personal, a podcast for leaders and business owners who want to change the way we define success in life and business. I'm your host, Kylie Peters. Today, we are talking about lead generation, and we are joined by the lovely Sarah Lockwood. Sarah is the co-founder of the Fireside Group and Hivecast.fm, and she has 20 years of experience helping small business owners connect to new clients through paid and organic marketing initiatives. And lucky for us, she is also a guest speaker in our accelerator program for women business owners, and she's going to give us the lowdown on what we need to know when it comes to lead generation in our businesses. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
We are happy to have you. All right, Sarah. So the Accelerator program covers a lot. And one of the things that you so generously have helped educate us on is lead generation. So tell us a little bit about the range of topics you are covering in the Accelerator program.
Absolutely. So I think one of the challenges that entrepreneurs face all the time is understanding and having a sense of control about how they're getting new customers and when those customers are coming to them. I think so many people struggle with that feeling of like, I don't know where my customers come from. Luckily, they just, you know, it just happens. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is empower women that are in the Accelerator program to have more control in their businesses and to feel confident knowing where their next clients are coming from, where their customers are coming from, how much they need to spend to get those clients, and mm-hmm. be aware of things they can do that are not paid media. So, you know, not Facebook and Meta ads or LinkedIn ads, but things they can do that are organic and more cost-effective if they're not ready for paid media. So we're really trying to give people a little bit of context for this really important topic that, you know, we've learned from so many entrepreneurs is like something that keeps them up at night. And we want to really help them solve that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll piggyback on that too. The number one thing we always hear from entrepreneurs is like, I need sales. But guess what? You can't get sales if you don't have leads. Right. And so we have to generate those leads, and it would be awesome if they were well qualified leads. So absolutely. Sarah, what are the three, as we're talking about lead gen for entrepreneurship, what are the three things that you want entrepreneurs to know or they need to think about in terms of really crafting solid lead gen strategies for themselves?
Absolutely. Well, it's such an important question because I'm sure you've heard this and I've heard it too. Someone will say, well, I need leads to come into my business, so I'm going to run a Facebook campaign. How mm-hmm. much should I spend? Mm-hmm. You know, deer in headlights, like, you know, just how much should I spend? And the fact is that you really need to have a plan and have some data to support those decisions. Mm-hmm. So I really counsel people to spend some time understanding the numbers of their business that can help them make decisions about, is a paid media strategy right? Or should they actually tackle something that is more of an organic strategy, which may be have a cost of time, but not necessarily mm-hmm. an expenditure of cash. So I guess what I would start with in terms of something they need to know is, before you ever consider spending any money on a paid media campaign, you first need to understand the value of a client or a customer. If mm-hmm. you don't know how much an average customer brings into your business, you couldn't really make an informed decision about how much money you should spend to get a new one. So yep. that's one of the first things that I would encourage an entrepreneur to understand about their business. That means probably combing through a lot of data to understand how much does a client spend the first time they buy something from you? Do you mm-hmm. have the type of business where they continue to buy from you over time? If you have the type of a business that's a subscription, how long do your average customers stay with you? This is all information that helps you understand one of those major metrics, which is customer lifetime value.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Another decision that an entrepreneur may want to make is how much of that customer lifetime value are they willing to invest to acquire a new customer? Mm-hmm. So do you want to say, hey, you know, my average customer buys from me 3 times a year. So I'm willing to invest that whole first year of revenue, or a third of that first year of revenue, or two-thirds of that first year of revenue in order to acquire a customer? Or do you want to say, I want to break even from the very first time that new customer makes a purchase? These are decisions that go into making a decision about how much your budget should be. How much should your budget be also depends on, well, how many new leads do you need to get into your business? Do you need to get 10 leads in order to get two new customers? That information is called your conversion rate. So understanding how many leads come into your business and how many new customers result from those leads is also a piece of information you absolutely need to know so that you can make informed decisions about how much you should invest, how many leads you need, and how many of those leads will lead to a new customer.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to add, to piggyback on that, you know, taking a look at whatever your sales or lead generation process is and the different steps, you know, like if somebody books a discovery call, that doesn't mean that they're a client, right? And what are the steps? Like a discovery call to a proposal, to a SOW, and now they're a new client, right? And those conversion rates all trickle down. So ultimately, when you get a new client, it's like, how many leads did you start with and how many clients did you wind up with? So yeah, making sure that you understand where it falls off in those processes too. I love that.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kylie, another really important component of the workflow you just mentioned is understanding how long it takes a customer to go through that cycle.
Yeah.
So you're making an investment in a paid media strategy, and it takes someone 3 or 4 months from the time they maybe book that first discovery call to actually becoming a paying client, you need to be considering that in the timeline of your project, right? So month one, maybe you get 3 or 4 booked discovery calls. In month two, maybe you get 2 or 3 booked discovery calls. In month three, maybe you get 5. And then at the now is the first time you're getting those people from month one to actually get out their credit card and becoming a paying client. So really thinking through your expectations and timelines and your budget is really like these decisions happen from understanding these numbers, not from just making a, you know, oh, you should spend $2,500 a month. You need to really have more of a basis of data to make these decisions.
Yeah, back into that. Okay, so conversion metrics, understanding customer lifetime value, and then what would you say is number three?
I would say number three is really having a plan for how you're going to evaluate the performance of your programs. So many people really don't have an approach for this and are kind of having a knee-jerk reaction of like, well, is it working? I don't know. I feel like it is. You know, we want to make decisions, again, from a position of data, not a position of emotions. And having a system for attributing the leads that come into your business to your different strategies and tactics is super important. And then also having a plan to be able to respond to that information. So what we want to do is look at the data and then draw a conclusion from that data. And hopefully that will inform optimizations that we may want to make to our campaigns. So that could include things like changing the creative that's in some of your paid media strategies, like the ads that you're running. It could actually mean changing your landing page. And frankly, many people focus, I think, too much attention on the creative of their ad campaigns, when in fact, if they paid more attention to making their landing page work harder and actually do a better job of converting people who land on that page, it would actually impact their results from their campaigns far more than playing with the creative and the ads. But people, for whatever reason, I think incorrectly focus too much on the ad creative and are less willing to work on the landing pages.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a fellow marketer, I 1000% agree with you. Sometimes it's easy to forget that there are multiple steps in this process. First, you have to get found, right? You have to get a prospect to find you, and that's a whole nother, you know, strategy. And then you have to get them to say, yes, I'm interested. And now we're generating leads. And then you have to continue to get them to move down that marketing funnel to the point of like, yes, I know, like, and trust you. And now it's time to do business. And there's multiple opportunities along that entire path that they could say like, peace out. Nope, not for me. And so it's a constant relationship nurturing to continue to build that.
Yeah, and love that. Not right now. You know, yes, you're right for me, but you're not the right person or the right solution right now. So yes, understanding that there is a value to those leads that don't convert as well. So mm-hmm. your campaigns have value in a number of different ways, not just what immediately converts. And that's a misstep that I see a lot of entrepreneurs make as well, is just not understanding the value of a lead into their business, even if they don't immediately convert.
No, and that's a really good call too, because yes, it could be a not right now. And it could also be, well, not for me, but I know somebody who would mm-hmm. be a good, you know? And so that's something I talk to entrepreneurs about all the time is like, yeah, take the discovery call and be honest about it. And if it's not the right fit, you know, they might know somebody. So yes, it can be, you're right. There's value in a lot of different levels as we continue to work on building our businesses and generating those leads. Okay, Sarah, we could talk about like an entire masterclass on all of the different marketing strategies and tactics and all the things. But if there's one thing that you wanted listeners to take action on, to do right now when it comes to covering their bases for lead gen, what would that one thing be?
I would say sharpen your pencil and go take a look at the numbers in your business before you do anything else. And really, just as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, these are numbers that are going to be valuable to you to understand in a wide variety of contexts, not just in lead generation. Mm-hmm. So this is the place to start. It's worth taking the time. And in the accelerator program, you will get a masterclass on these things from so many experts that have so much knowledge and resources to share with your participants, but you will get all the information that you need to mm-hmm. figure out how to get these numbers, have, you know, really the support of so much like detail. The masterclass that you referred to, Kylie, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what this program is. It's so much valuable content. And honestly, as an entrepreneur who's thinking about where their new business comes from, I think probably the most important thing you can do is actually take the time to understand what's happening today mm-hmm. in your business, where your customers are coming from, how long they stay, what they're worth to your business. Because it's when you understand those, you can see holes in your current program, and then you can make informed decisions about what you should do about those.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Again, I'll piggyback on that too. I mean, when I took the time to do this with my agency, it just really helped to clarify where we should be spending our time and energy and like where our most valuable leads come from, right? Because you could also be spending a bunch of money and getting, you know, building your email list, which is valuable, but those people might not be converting right now. Or you could be speaking somewhere and you get 3 clients out of that speaking gig, right? So it's mm-hmm. about, just like you said, measuring, having a plan to measure success and know what KPIs you're looking for. I love that. All right, Sarah, you've been in your entrepreneurial journey for a little while now. What is one thing that you know now that you wish you would have learned earlier in your journey?
I think my business career would have been far more successful earlier if I had been more sophisticated about delegation. I think as an entrepreneur, I was and am a little bit of a control freak and very much to my own detriment. I think there are many people that you can bring into your organization that can be very cost-effective resources. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think you have an episode on Welcome to Aloma about this, and maybe we can put this in the show notes of what that mm-hmm. episode is. But, you know, it really, there are, when you understand the finances of your business, you can make better decisions about when it's something that you should do and what your time is worth versus someone else who may be more cost effective for that task and may frankly be better at it than you are. So mm-hmm. I definitely held on to things for too long. I definitely worked on and probably continue to work on things that I should actually, you know, have someone else do or put the responsibility of those tasks elsewhere. I'm reading a book called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell right now.
Okay.
Maybe many listeners would like to also take a look at. It's fascinating. It gives you an actual algorithm, or what's the word I'm looking for? It gives you kind of the math.
An equation.
Thank you. It gives you the equation for how much your time, how to calculate what your time is worth and how much you should, you know, when a task should be delegated to someone else. That's my tip. I should have done it long before and I probably should, you know, start today.
Well, to be fair, be gentle on yourself because there's iterations, right? Like, especially for somebody just getting started, they might not have the money. And then it's like, okay, well, find this much money and get that much off of your plate. And then you just build and build and it's a snowball effect. And then when I think when you get to a certain level, it's like, okay, I've done a pretty good job, but I can still do better. And then it's like, okay, now what? And it sometimes is taking things off your personal plate, you know, and as well as you're just one human, right? We're all just one human and we have the same amount of hours in a day. So I'm game and I'm team delegation. I love that. Also, I haven't read that book and I'm going to read that book. I love that. Okay. Well, there you go. We have three big key takeaways. We've got one action item and that's all we've got right now. So for anybody who is listening and they're like, I'm interested in learning more about this fancy accelerator program, we would love to share more with you. Check out more at rixaccelerator.com. And we are launching new cohorts currently every January and every July. If you have any additional questions you would like answered on the Make Business Personal podcast, please submit those at mbppodcast.com. And if you found this episode helpful, we would love you to leave a review wherever you're listening. And Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Learn more about how to make business personal at makebusinesspersonal.com.